It seems as though each new generation wants more out of their career than just a paycheck. They want to be fulfilled with their work, a goal that has many people looking at the jobs they had or ones currently available and feeling underwhelmed. As a result, some vitally important industries are struggling. Young childhood education is one of them. Literally hundreds of thousands of teachers in preschools who once were attracted by meaningful work left the classroom in the pandemic and haven't come back. And schools are having a tough time staying open as a result.
It's tremendously difficult, and centers and family childcare homes are struggling deeply with the ability right now to recruit and retain staff early childhood programs. Enormous drops in the early days that we saw with folks really like 360,000 jobs lost in the early days of the pandemic.
That's Lauren Hogan, Managing Director for Policy and Professional Advancement at the National Association for the Education of Young Children.
Some of that has risen back as childcare has reemerged and been supported through, again, some of the federal and state relief dollars, but it is a demanding and through lots of history, a low wage field, although not low skill nor low value. And that has made staffing challenges exacerbated, although many of these existed even prior to the pandemic.
Hogan says the lack of staff at preschools has escalated into a national crisis. It's one of the reasons the economy remains much more stalled than it might be otherwise.
We're seeing women in particular, but all parents who are unable to go back into the workforce because they cannot find childcare for their kids. And that is impacting the supply chain, that is impacting the workforce at large and businesses' ability to help, you know, rebuild the economy in the short term, and really seeing those challenges ripple across other workforces, other impacts. I have been working with a childcare center who did a graphic of her childcare center and how many other jobs she supports just by existing for her community, and really demonstrating how many industries rely on a stable and successful early childhood market.
Hogan has done a number of surveys of preschools during the pandemic, with one revealing that 80% are suffering from staff shortages. Unfortunately, the latest data from 2023 shows that the childcare sector is still feeling this hit. In turn, many of them have turned away kids, or they've closed completely. Millions of parents can't go back to work because they can't find care for their children.
And that, again, is just rippling out to the effects. We hear stories every day about a program that can't stay open, can't keep its classroom open, can't stay open. Each time that happens, you know, it's another 20 or 50 or 100 families who suddenly lost their care and are now going to either scramble, potentially have to find unsafe care for their kids, or choose to, you know, not re-enter the workforce. And none of those options are good ones.
Many preschool teachers haven't had great options either. Nobody ever goes into the field to make a fortune, but after many preschools closed in the pandemic, teachers had the chance to look around a little and compare their economics with the rest of the world.
Nearly 50% of early childhood educators nationwide rely on public assistance to make ends meet because they themselves make so little. And when there are other options available to them in a job market where across the street, the retail, you know, center is offering $2 more an hour plus benefits, it's very hard for them to make their family economic decision to stay in childcare, even though that's where they would like to be. If they could stay, they would. And the kids who really benefit from having the stability of early childhood educators who can stay and support them over the years. Turnover doesn't just hurt the sort of bottom line of the program. It hurts the kids too, and the families who want that stability when they're dropping their kids off every day. They want to know that they're taking them to a safe and trusted and place where their kids are going to be loved and cared for. And the kind of turnover that we're seeing right now, which has always been high in early childhood education, you know, somewhere between 30 and 40% is not unusual, has just grown.
As Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said, the market for early childhood teachers is broken. It's a textbook market failure. Hogan agrees.
What it costs to provide quality childcare is more than what any individual family can afford. It's why we don't have families pay one at a time for fourth grade. That's not how our system functions, but it is how we function in childcare. And so a substantial portion of the cost of providing childcare has actually been subsidized by the low wages of early childhood educators for a very long time, even as it is simultaneously unaffordable for families. I mean, that's what we know. It's extremely expensive for families, and yet early childhood educators are making poverty level wages.
And that's in good times. With the pandemic, the entire economy was thrown into disarray. At daycare centers, enrollments plummeted. Schools closed. Later, school operators couldn't predict how many families would want to send their kids back to class again, or how many teachers they'd need. It was a nightmare.
When that happens, programs just cannot stay alive. Their margins are so thin to begin with that when there is this kind of massive disruption happens, recovering is very difficult. And that does bring us back to some of the relief funding that have been provided to stabilize programs. And those have helped tremendously. We know there would have been massive amounts of closures in the absence of federal and state support for childcare.
But Hogan says the preschool staff shortage isn't just a short-term labor crisis. It's also a long-term challenge to the economy if we don't provide quality early childhood education across the nation.
What we know about the brain development in the early years, about how important it is for children to have access to high-quality early childhood education in those early years, we are sacrificing our nation's economy in the long term for the investments that we're not making and the shoring up of early childhood education that we are not currently doing in a way that, again, other countries are really able to see and make those investments and will reap those benefits in ways that we could too, but we don't.
However, that might change. The Congressional Build Back Better Act calls for spending nearly $400 billion for free universal preschool for 3 and 4 year olds and a cut in childcare costs for most families. Hogan calls it transformational.
That is in part because it really looks holistically and comprehensively at some of the challenges within our field. And again, we have been dealing with the challenges of both affordability and quality and compensation all at the same time. You know, some folks call it the three-legged stool or the trilemma. There's these challenges that unless you address them at the same time, you run the risk of really creating additional problems that are unintended, but easily foreseen. One of the things that this particular bill does is it really addresses the question of how to keep costs down for families while also increasing compensation for educators, because that is really where we drive both the supply of childcare and the quality of childcare. That's really the nexus, is at this workforce question.
Hogan says that school funding for young children isn't really a partisan issue. Some people are surprised to learn that Republican states, where budgets are often honed down, have been among the national leaders. So Hogan is excited about the future.
This is very much an issue of public health and of the literal health of our children and families. And thinking about early childhood as a way to support long-term health outcomes, there's tons of research indicating the importance of early childhood education in managing to long-term health and into supporting, you know, broadly speaking, obviously individual and public health as well. This is really an issue that I think unites us across disciplines. And we just, you know, encourage the support and engagement of folks who are not just parents of children 0 to 5 at the time that they need it, but really understanding the ways that this benefits our whole community and our whole nation as well.
But without that kind of ongoing help, Hogan says the current hole will only get bigger and the crisis deeper. Better to take care of it now.
More programs close. Parents are then unable to find the care that they need. They leave the workforce or they scramble to find places where their kids are not necessarily in places that are safe. And that is something that weighs heavily on all of us.
You can find out more about Lauren Hogan and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. The segment originally aired December of 2021 and was written and produced by Reed Pence. Our lead producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield. This segment is brought to you by Capital One. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
We've seen dramatic responses in patients with very little options, and we're really excited about that. And these are patients that have widely metastatic disease. They've been heavily pretreated.
A new hope for cancer patients who are out of options.
But first, learning the life skills that can help you become successful.
It's really for just anyone who's like, why does it seem like everyone has this figured out and I don't?
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Greg Johnson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
I had a catastrophic fracture from a minor fall, and the doctors were just shocked at how I had shattered my bone. They couldn't even do surgery.
Imagine being diagnosed with osteoporosis in your 20s. How one woman built a career out of her own health struggles. Then,
it is kind of odd, isn't it, that we are so fascinated by these people that we're never going to meet and that we want to talk about them and know the latest thing about them.
The psychology behind celebrity gossip. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.